This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
FM News Talk 97.1. Podcast. FM News Talk 97.1.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, turn the radio on, it's Saturday, and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong, I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
For goodness sake, Kith, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
We just uncovered new documents that show that Mrs. Clinton's top personal lawyer was communicating with the top lawyer at the FBI about the emails found from Mrs. Clinton's email server on the laptop of Anthony Weiner. Mrs. Clinton's lawyer was complaining about James Comey's disclosure of those developments to Congress just days before the election. In the reaction, the FBI held an urgent conference call, the documents show. These documents show that the Hillary Clinton email investigation was fixed, and frankly, it's well past time for both the Department of Justice and the FBI to finally conduct an honest investigation of Hillary Clinton's email misdeeds.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. It's really interesting when you think about the context of what has happened, what has been investigated, what hasn't been investigated. It all fits in the context of historically what happened in the 2016 election. As in, Donald Trump was elected, and because he was elected, everything afterwards was a lot of shock and backtracking, it seems, as though the anticipation we all had. I mean, even us here, as we reported on it, pretty much expected Hillary to win, and the idea that Donald Trump actually won was a surprise to many people. But it's very interesting to see now that we're 2 years past that, 2.5 years almost past the 2016 election, how much that election really shaped our understanding of what was going on predating November of 2018. Excited to welcome to the show Chris Farrell with Judicial Watch. He's their director of investigations. Chris, thank you for coming on the show today. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Great to be with you. Thanks.
So when you are looking through this information, we find out a little bit more and a little bit more about what led up to the 2016 election and the Hillary Clinton side of things. What are you finding out as you submit these information requests and uncover more and more information?
I mean, the general sort of 100,000 foot view looking down at the whole thing is that, look, you know, the fix was in. It was preordained. It was established that the Democratic nominee was not going to be indicted for, a violation of the criminal code, Title 18, Section 793F, you know, the mishandling of national defense information. Even though it was plain to anybody, just looking at the reporting, looking at the news stories, people that were aware of sort of the facts and circumstances leading up to the Hillary Clinton email server, that whole story, and certainly those people in your listening audience who have any sort of background or experience in the armed forces, in the law enforcement world, the intelligence world, government contractors, any folks who deal with classified information, their gut instinct the minute they hear this story about Hillary using a private server to send classified information, they know what happened to them. They know the treatment that they would get as, you know, somebody who's an analyst in a government contracting office working on classified stuff. They know what would happen to them. And so, you know, the disparity of treatment and the notion that, look, no matter what, they have got to advance Hillary Clinton towards the presidency without an indictment for a national security crime, that was the given. And so they did everything under the sun to twist and turn the so-called investigation when it was clear, you know, the fix was in from the very beginning.
We're speaking with Chris Farrell, the director of investigations at Judicial Watch. You know, you're super close to all of this information. We enjoy reading it as it's disseminated to us. But as you are uncovering details, some that you've maybe not even put out yet for public consumption regarding the Hillary email situation, regarding how they investigated Donald Trump, is there a double standard?
Oh, it's enormous. And just for clarity, when we get information, we put it out. There's nothing we hold back. And, I mean, that's the beauty of what we do is that, you know, 99% of our work is driven by documents, records. And so even those persons who, let's say, you know, philosophically or editorial would not necessarily agree with us, okay, fine. You look at the records. Mm-hmm. You tell me what they mean, right? So it kind of defeats all the mumbo-jumbo and the double talk and the efforts to spin. You know, it's, okay, well, here's the record. Here's you know, Lisa Page's text message to Peter Strzok that says, POTUS, meaning President of the United States, and in that, at that time referring to Obama, POTUS wants to know everything we're doing. Oh, really?
Yeah, well, tell me more about
please,
that.
Please explain. Mm-hmm. Please explain. And that's never been addressed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Never. What exactly did Mr. Obama know about all these little twists and turns in the FBI and the Department of Justice? When is he going to be deposed? You know, I'd like to know exactly what his knowledgeability was. And when Andy McCabe, the deputy director of the FBI, is running over to the White House to brief Lisa Monaco, who was the Homeland Security advisor to President Obama, you know, what was going on in those meetings?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's interesting to think about what would happen if Hillary would have won. Like, they all expected Hillary Clinton to have won.
Exactly.
If we were speaking of President Clinton now instead of President Trump, would there be a Russia investigation at all if he was doing anything that they allege that he was doing? And B, would we ever even know these details? Would Judicial Watch have even had a reason to put in the requests for this information?
Yeah, I mean, the beauty of sort of the backstory as to how we uncovered this whole email server that was eventually exposed and became the contentious issue that it did, you know, the foundation for that wasn't some special insight into how Hillary was running her office as Secretary of State. The real root to that entire investigation began with Benghazi, believe it or not. We had done a tremendous amount of FOIA work, and we continue to litigate and press on Benghazi. We will never let that go. But in the course of looking at all this Benghazi traffic, the back and forth and who was talking to who, and there was something that was conspicuously absent. And that hole or that gap was any communications with the Secretary of State, which is almost unimaginable. You've got her, one of her diplomatic compounds under terrorist attack, and there's no communication from the Secretary of State.
Mm-hmm.
And so that sort of conspicuous absence, that hole, is really what, and it's a long, twisted tale, which I will not bore you with, but that gap or that void actually ended up bringing us to the story of her having her own email server.
Mm-hmm. So When you're uncovering this information and you see how you uncover something you think that might be like a really huge story, and then you see only a few media outlets pick it up, or maybe the way the information is presented is not 100% genuine based on the information that was uncovered, do you have confidence that with the efforts of Judicial Watch that what in regards to Hillary Clinton and in the regards to President Trump, that the truth will be fully exposed in a matter of time?
Eventually, yes. There are a number of news media outlets that will do everything under the sun to scrupulously avoid and ignore what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like I said before, the records and documents, they speak for themselves. And there's some stuff that they simply can't ignore. They can't. They try very hard. They would love to, you know, not discuss it or just make it some sort of parenthetical comment when it really should be a screaming headline. But you know, we have the records and documents on our side, and we're pursuing. Look, we're taking depositions in the Hillary Clinton email case still now. Where was Congress? Hasn't done it. The FBI hasn't done it. We just finished questioning one of the guys who set up the email server itself. Just last week, we did a deposition. There's more coming up in April. And you have to ask yourself, well, why is Judicial Watch doing this in civil litigation through the discovery process? Why isn't Congress done this? Why hasn't the FBI done it? They didn't do it. They didn't interview these people.
Well, you know, we have Congressman Adam Schiff. He's definitely interested in doing investigations and in requiring a lot of documents and testimony from many, many, many people. What do you think about Congressman Schiff and his leadership as the guy in charge for the Democrats right now in the House when it comes to these investigations?
The guy is like a parody. He's a cartoonish figure. He's made some pretty outlandish claims and some, you know, proclamations about what he knows and what he's seen, but there's zero, you know, show to go on that one. He's got, you know, sort of an agenda, you know, that is it's a destroy Trump line.
Mm-hmm.
He's been that way for a couple of years now. And here's another guy, not like unlike the media, that, you know, very deliberately avoids and ignores all the really burning questions and pursues one track that only fits, you know, his get Trump sort of narrative.
Yeah, well, it's going to be interesting to watch, and we're very grateful that Judicial Watch is looking to open up as much of this information to the American public as possible. So thank you, Chris Farrell, Director of Investigations at Judicial Watch, for weighing in on this, and we continue to see what you guys do in the future.
Thanks very much.
Absolutely. On Twitter, at Judicial Watch, you can go thank them for coming on the show. It was great to have this insight. I mean, when I'm looking at judicialwatch.org right now and the wealth of information that they have there, I mean, you got to be a reader, but this is where real stuff is being exposed. And just like Chris was saying there, the documents are the documents. You can read the source documents, the original, in the way that they have been in existence from the very beginning, and make your own judgments based on what you read. And that's a very valuable thing in today's day and age. I mean, being able to consume some piece of information before it's been laundered through some sort of media outlet or press. I mean, even, yes, I read lots of stuff. I present it to you, and I think that it's important that I weigh in on those pieces of information with you, but you definitely need to be making the case for yourself, looking at the information and coming up with your own conclusions. I just think it's important. All right, let's take a break real quick. 314-241-9797. Mike, hold on the line. I'm going to get to you as soon as we come back. We could take phone calls on anything we've talked about today. We've talked about the economy. We've talked about Beto O'Rourke, which, from what I understand, Tony has some advice for me. He says I say Beto O'Rourke's name funny, but I don't know how I say it funny, and he's going to tell me on air. He's going to give me an education. Beto O'Rourke. Do you think it sounds weird?
I don't know.
I think his name sounds weird, but that's not my fault. Beto O'Rourke. Maybe I'm overemphasizing. O'Rourke? Beto? Beto?
What is it?
Someone's going to call in here and say, his name is Robert. I know. I get it. He goes by Beto or something. Tony is going to improve upon my articulation of Mr. O'Rourke's name shortly. And your phone calls, 314-241-9797, 314-241-9797, 866-455-9797. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Not only will I not say that again, but I'll be much more thoughtful going forward in the way that I talk about our marriage, and also the way in which I acknowledge the truth of the criticism that I have enjoyed white privilege.
Beto comes out and says...
Beto...
Just a second.
Okay.
You can criticize me in a minute.
Leave me alone.
This guy comes out and criticize or gets criticized by people for suggesting that his wife takes care of their three children and he helps out sometimes. It's kind of like supposed to be a compliment, like Tony reported earlier, to his wife for doing such a great job. And then the feminists are like, that's how feminists sound. And then he apologizes. Do you need to, if you need to apologize to anybody, it's your wife. And if your wife is not offended by that, then everybody else can shut their hole. Why am I defending Beto O'Rourke? I don't know. And I'm going to figure out in a second what I'm doing wrong. But first, I want to take Tim's phone call. Tim, thanks for calling the show.
Tim, you hear it, right?
No.
You hear what she's saying, right?
No.
I'm abstaining.
See, but smart man.
But you hear it. Tim, just tell me you hear it.
Tim, are you married?
No hablo es inglés.
It's a weird time to be calling in a radio show. What do you think?
Well, Beto, I saw Beto, a video of Beto, and one of the points he made was that the United States is this last shining bastion of hope in the world. And if it is, presently, why would we vote someone like Beto O'Rourke into office to drastically change and eliminate the opportunities and the benefits of being a free country?
Yeah, good point. It's. I mean, which way is it?
Himself. I didn't make it up. It came right out of his mouth with these flailing arms going every place. I thought he was going to hit the guy sitting next to him. But
it's funny because he was actually... Thank you, Tim, for calling the show. Appreciate you
waiting.
And your abstinence on that answer is well placed. But he's on Fox News right now, and he is... He's probably, 6 feet tall? You need to be 7 feet. There's like a 7 foot diameter, or six, what was that, 3.5 foot, yeah, 3.5 foot radius around him that you would need to be away from him, or you are in the danger zone.
Do you guys remember when Tom Cruise leapt onto that couch for Oprah?
Nuts. For Katie Holmes.
Yes, for Katie Holmes, and that is what Beto is. He's leaping onto places.
You're a little too excited.
I'm like, stop it!
Yeah,
get
please.
It together.
Get it together!
One of the original memes. One of the first ever memes.
Like, yeah,
Tom
totally.
Cruise kills Oprah. That was the name of it.
So, we spent the whole first segment talking about Beto O'Rourke. And then Tony says to me, like, halfway through the show, he goes, you know you say his name funny? I go, no, I didn't know that. And he goes, well, I was going to criticize you on the air, but I thought maybe that would upset you. But no, bring it. What do you got? What do I do?
You add you're adding a syllable.
Where? O'Rourke?
You say...
O'Rourke.
There you go.
No!
You say O'Rourke. Beto O'Rourke. O'Rourke.
Like R-I-C-K.
I don't know where you're O'Rourke. Getting that extra letter, those extra couple letters. It's Beto O'Rourke.
That's too hard to say.
Beto O'Rourke. Beto O'Rourke.
Beto...
I love it.
No, you don't.
I do.
It was bothering you so much you couldn't even contain yourself.
Beto O'Rourke.
Oh,
sometimes
don't
you smash it all together and just say Beto O'Rourke.
Exactly. O'Rourke. That's why I'm emphasizing
Beto
it because it's so easy to... You can't end your name in O and start your name
O'Rourke.
In O and be normal.
O'Rourke.
You can't have your name certainly not be Beto.
O'Rourke.
I thought you were going to tell me
two
it
syllables.
Was Beto.
No, people do that too. Beto,
I've asked
Beto.
That question.
Yeah.
Is it Beto or Beto? And I thought we didn't have to care, but now we have to care again.
Why?
But now I have to worry about his first name and his last name to meet Tony's high standards.
I think
and his hand gestures. It all.
I think Beto has become the most accepted way to pronounce the first name because that's what you hear all over the place. You are you're unique.
Mm.
With O'Rourke.
That's a nice way to say it. Most people in my life haven't put it that way.
You're one of a kind with that one. O'Rourke.
You're really special.
Beto O'Rourke. O'Rourke.
Katie?
Yeah?
Want to weigh in?
I just have to say, everyone calls me unique all the time, and I dig it. So
it's because you are, dear.
Yep.
It's in a really wonderful way. Say his name.
Yeah, say his name.
Beto O'Rourke.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
She said it Beto my way.
O'Rourke. No. You say O'Rourke.
Maybe you do. I don't know.
Beto O'Rourke.
You put three syllables in it. And
how are
only
you supposed to say
in
a word?
O'Rourke.
How do you spell this dude's name? R-O-U-R-K-E. O'Rourke.
See?
Say it with me now.
I'm not wrong. O'Rourke.
No.
O'Rourke. He needs to drop out now. It's
O'Rourke.
Simple.
Uh-oh, we got 314-241-9797.
At least his name isn't Buttigieg.
I know. Dude, I can talk about Buttigieg.
Buttigieg was on Fox News Sunday.
But a gag.
He thinks that we need to be, he's with the Green New Deal.
Oh.
Mayor Pete.
Thanks, Pete.
So he was the one who came. No, is that right? Was he the one who? Yeah. This is from townhall.com. Vice President Mike Pence has apparently had a lot to defend himself for lately. Last week, openly gay 2020 presidential candidate Pete Buttigieg accused the VP of being a bigot, and he's, quote, afraid to see him wield so much power. I will add that when we covered this story last week, we didn't even mention that Pete Buttigieg was gay. It wasn't even part of our story.
Do you think Vice President Pence would be a better or worse president than President Trump?
Oh. Does it have to be between
politics is about choices, man. You know that.
I mean, I don't know. It's really strange because I used to at least believe that he believed in our. I've disagreed with him ferociously on these things, but I thought, well, at least he believes in our institutions and he's not personally corrupt. But then, how could he get on board with this presidency? How could somebody who, you know, his interpretation of scripture is pretty different from mine to begin with. Okay, my understanding of scripture is that it is about protecting the stranger and the prisoner and the poor person. And that idea of welcome, that's what I get in the gospel when I'm in church. And his has a lot more to do with sexuality and, I don't know, a certain view of rectitude. But even if you buy into that, how could he allow himself to become the cheerleader of the porn star presidency? Is it that he stopped believing in scripture when he started believing in Donald Trump? I don't know.
Pet peeve. Don't make a full statement highly criticizing someone and end it with, I don't know. You didn't know. You just said what you know. That's the whole point. That you know that Donald Trump is a sinful sinner and that it's terrible that Vice President Mike Pence, because Mike Pence is somebody who has put his faith in Christianity out there, would be associated with Donald Trump. That's what you're saying. And don't say that you don't know. Stand by your criticism. You want to be the president of the United States, you better have the cojones to stand up behind your words instead of suggesting that, oh, you know, here's some criticisms, but I don't know, I could be wrong. Give me a break. So Mike Pence is when you think about the things that Donald Trump has been criticized for, that he also kind of had a part in, and also you compare that to the things that Mike Pence has been criticized for, like, for instance, the suggestion that he doesn't take meetings with women alone. That was something he was highly criticized for. What happens if you don't do that? You know what? You don't get, you don't open yourself up to the opportunity for someone to paint the picture that something happened that wasn't appropriate. He doesn't say that he didn't take meetings with women. He said he doesn't take meetings with women alone. Well, Kamala Harris said just recently, I disagree when he suggests it's not possible to have meetings with women alone by himself. I think that's ridiculous. The idea that you would deny a professional woman the opportunity to have a meeting with the VP is outrageous. That is not what he said. And suggesting otherwise is wrong. Well, the press secretary for Mike Pence, Alyssa Farah, said on Twitter, hi, Senator Kamala Harris. I'm a female senior advisor to Mike Pence, and I'm wondering why you are repeating this false claim. He's elevated women to positions of leadership throughout his career and relies on their advice and counsel. Get your facts straight. Good for her. Suggesting in the Me Too world that we live in, where I am as scared for my son going into the world as I am my daughter because of the Me Too, the existence of an acknowledgement that things happen and are inappropriate, but also the vicious, vicious monster that is out there to try to villainize all men for the sake of being male. I have a problem with that, raising a son. I have a big problem with the idea that because he is a boy going to be a man, that somehow or another, he's got something that he should automatically be villainized for. Well, Richard Grenell, who is, I hope I said that right, Tony will let me know in a minute if I didn't, said, he goes, for those of us in the LGBT community, he is an ambassador to Germany. For those of us in the LGBT community who deal in facts, we are chilled by recklessly repeated gossip. Mike Pence is a humble Christian who loves God and all his creation. I know him. You obviously don't. Another example of trying to invoke outrage among people simply for the virtue of gaining votes. It's disgusting and it's really, really lazy. Get your votes based on policy and merit, not on fear and on gossip. It's really, really lazy. Hey, Ray, thanks for calling the show.
Hi, thank you for having me. I just wanted to say that O'Rourke, Fantasy Island, Socialist Ideas, that when you have a Beto update, maybe you should play the theme from Fantasy Island.
Okay.
Because I can just see him saying, hi, I am Mr. O'Rourke. Welcome to Fantasy Island.
Thank you, Ray. I appreciate that. Did he say it like I say it?
Nope.
I can't roll my O'Rourke. I guess I can.
Yeah.
Maybe I say it better if I do that.
Maybe.
Beto O'Rourke. Don't laugh at me. Why is it funny?
Because you don't say it right.
Maybe you don't say it right.
Maybe not.
Katie.
I just say it the way everybody else says it.
Katie, we need to get Beto on the show.
And we can squash this.
And get him to speak in the third person. And
does he have a, you know how you have the Bernie Sanders? I'm Bernie Sanders. And I'm running for president. Is there
I'm Bernie Sanders. I'm running for president.
Is there a? I'm Beto O'Rourke.
I don't think he says
it. You need to get. Or was the I'm made for this? That was written. He didn't say that, did he? We'll have to look over. Or we can just get Jimmy Fallon doing it because that was great too.
Yeah,
I was totally fine with that. But we do need a Beto one because it's real. Do you say Beto or Beto? You say Beto, don't you?
I say Beto. I mean, that's whatever. That's seems to be the generally
consensus, yeah. Mm-hmm. Todd, thanks for calling the show. Hey, Todd.
I wanted to help you with your pronunciation.
Okay.
Okay, so just call him James Francis O'Rourke.
James?
Robert
it's
Francis.
Robert,
yeah,
isn't
Robert
it?
Francis O'Rourke.
Yeah.
Okay, Robert Francis. Uh-huh. My sister thought that he was Hispanic because of that nickname.
Yeah.
And almost had me thinking that and said, it's about time we put a Hispanic in government. And I was just enthralled at that idea,
yeah.
Especially since it's wrong. But why is the nickname, though?
Yeah, I think that's what he's gone by for a long time. It is what it is. But yeah, it's. Thank you for the call, Todd. I appreciate it. That doesn't help me with
the last name.
O'Rourke. Should I do it again?
Yes.
Oh, wait, hold up.
You do it
hold
every
up.
Time.
I got it. Oh, my gosh. Hold up.
You got it?
This is Beto O'Rourke.
There you go.
Say it again.
Okay.
Beto O'Rourke.
He says it like me.
No.
This is Beto O'Rourke.
Not even close.
O'Rourke.
Hold Maybe on. We need to get Annie recorded saying it and then play it next to that.
And then we'll tell Beto how to say his last name.
But he said Beto.
Yeah.
So
wrong.
It's Beto.
He's wrong. What is
Mike, I wanted to get you on the phone here. You've been waiting for a while. Thank you so much for calling the show and holding. Are you there, Mike?
Oh.
Bummer. Who can call back? 314-241-9797. We'll talk more about that guy who's running for president.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how about this? From now on, whenever I need to say his name, you can say his name and I'll do the rest of the story.
O'Rourke.
You just said it like me.
No.
Yes, you did.
No.
O'Rourke.
O'Rourke. I say O'Rourke.
I can't imagine what's more compelling in radio than Tony and I giving each other dirty looks back and forth saying the same word.
It's pretty compelling.
O'Rourke.
We are not saying the same word. You were close there. You were close there.
I'm getting better, folks. Maybe if I practice over the break, I'll be acceptable. Can I read you something that someone sent to the Facebook page? It's about you.
Hey there. Yeah. This is Beto O'Rourke.
Yeah, I know Beto O'Rourke. Stop it! Tony, this is from
Jill
Jennifer.
On Twitter, who says, whose last name is O'Rourke, says it's pronounced O'Rourke. It's my married name, no relation to
Is she telling me
Beto.
I did it wrong? Did she say-
Yes.
Yes. Jennifer,
yeah,
on my side, says, tell Tony he has no room to criticize. He can't pronounce Illinois correctly.
Yeah, I don't. I say a lot of words wrong. I'm not saying I.
She says, love all you guys, but I notice mispronunciations rarely ever correct anyone. And but if he's calling you out, I'm calling him
I
out.
Because I say Illinois.
It's Illinois, not Illinois.
I say Illinois.
You yeah. do. You say it wrong. And like I say, the way you can remember this
I'm okay with that.
Is knowing how sick the state of Illinois is.
I think we found out I'm perfect in this room. So
I'm the boss.
I'm the boss.
Get me out of here.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
What is happening? It's gonna take time. This is a coup. Brian on Twitter says, at Annie Fry Show, Tony is just trying to help. Humble yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And please ease off the quote, me tooing of poor Tony. What? Mm.
Poor Tony.
I know. I saw you leave the studio for like 3 minutes.
I feel terrible.
And you had to go make up a fake Twitter profile so you could tweet
me. That.
You could just tell me straight up how you feel, Tony. You don't have to pretend.
That was me.
And Jill O'Rourke. I'm sorry. It's just how I say it.
Mm-hmm.
Says
you said it pretty close that time.
I'm trying. Yes, it's pronounced O'Rourke.
There you go. There you go.
It's my married name, no relation. And in Spanish, it is Beto. And she says, she retweets herself and says, Beto is so not Hispanic that he also says Beto wrong. What did I do? Was that me?
That was totally me.
Okay.
Good night.
Camille says, okay, imagine if someone said your name Frey, which they definitely do.
Mm-hmm.
It is Fry. Yes. Camille supports you too. I need some moral support here at Annie Fry Show. Just tell Tony he's wrong.
You don't Whether
need,
he is or not.
You don't have to believe it. It can be it. Fake news. We don't talk about it. It's what CNN does all the time.
Yeah. I definitely said your last name was Frey when I first met you, when I was all nervous for my internship.
And look how that turned out for you.
Well,
now
when
we're
you
besties.
First read it, when you first read Annie's name, I could see that being a common mistake.
My maiden name was an easy to pronounce name, Fry. It does look like Frey to many people. And it's... I don't know why it's not as frustrating to me when people pronounce it because I married into it.
Yeah.
I haven't had it my whole life. Mm-hmm. I mean, nobody's going to mispronounce Fitzpatrick or Columbo.
Everybody spells Columbo with a U, which is totally understandable. It does not offend me. Or
Columbo, all O's.
Doesn't make me mad in any way, but it's very common to have it spelled with a U.
Hey, Tom, thanks for calling the show.
Hey.
What's up?
I know you guys were having a little comic relief with Beto's name, but... You know, it's really just a gimmick, and that's the kind of thing that makes his name stick in people's heads from election time. So I think his real name's like Robert Francis O'Rourke.
Yeah.
You could say that a million times. Nobody's going to remember him come 2020.
Probably, yeah. It's probably a smart move on his part. Tom, thanks for calling the show.
All right.
Pamela on Twitter asks me if I've been drinking.
Oh.
Okay.
Do I sound like I've been drinking? I've had water, Diet Mountain Dew, and coffee today. It's one of those days. It's Monday. Somebody, I'm looking for the rest of our Twitter. At Annie Fry Show, at Tony Colombo 971, at KFitz 971. And for all of your Billiken updates, at Frank Ladd STL.
Mm-hmm.
Very excited for Frank Ladd and his Billikens. How cool is that? It's good to have that in St. Louis. Even,
so cool.
And it's, you know.
They were not going to make it. They had a decent season, but they were not going to make it to the tournament.
Yeah. I listened to Tom Ackerman this morning on the Mark Cox Morning Show when Mike Ferguson was filling in, and Tom Ackerman pointed out that SLU beat Virginia Tech last year once, so that they might be familiar with them, but Virginia Tech's going to be a tough team.
Well, once you're in.
It's March Madness. That's why it's madness.
That's right.
Which number one seed lost last year? Wasn't that last year that?
Oh, every year. Every year, number one seeds get knocked out.
No, in the first round.
And that's never been done.
That just happened.
No. The second round, maybe. There's never been a 16 that has
Katie, what do you
one.
Think?
A 16 has never beaten a one.
She just shrugs her shoulders.
I'm happy for Frank.
That's a good
15s
response.
Have beat twos.
Hey, Mike.
That happened to Mizzou.
Thanks for calling the show.
Hey, can you hear me this time?
Yeah, Mike, go ahead. I wanted to get you in here.
Yeah, listen, I'm glad I had you guys put me on hold because I could hear the whole show because I'm down in Southern Illinois and you don't get the signal real good down here.
Well, that worked anyway, out well.
Good. Two things. One, you've been saying the name right.
Oh,
number two.
Yes. What? I'm so glad you called back.
Number two is, let's take all the politicians' benefits and retirement and make them like regular people's has to pay. And if a person goes in for 2 years in the House of Representatives and he gets a lifetime of pension, that's not fair.
Yeah, I agree.
He should get equivalent to 2 years of what he put
What's
in.
What's this guy's name?
Okay. You put all Genius. That money back in Frank. And, hey, none of us have to pay taxes.
Mike, yeah. Yeah, Mike, I agree with you. Thank you for the phone
Mike,
call.
Mike, say Beto's name.
I'm not going to take a cross anyway.
No, exactly.
Yeah. Mike, thank you. Checks in the mail.
Mike doesn't think it's pronounced O'Rourke.
Thanks for listening, Mike.
Come on, Mike.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. Mike is a really well-educated man. I've seen his resume. He's brilliant.
Especially.
Listen.
Linda, listen.
Yeah, it's Beto O'Rourke. Did I do it wrong again?
You were close there. It was good. That was good.
I appreciate the support. I appreciate
you
the
said
encouragement.
It good there. Pretty good.
Well, said it.
It's not O'Rourke.
We're going down a rabbit hole that I can't escape.
You want to, Katie, if you're watching the webcam today, Katie's a hot mess. Katie, how many times have you sneezed in the show today?
I've sneezed nonstop, probably 10.
I was going to say a dozen.
Maybe a dozen. I've been blowing my nose constantly. She's really attractive.
She says in the last break, she goes, I'm over here sneezing and honking my horn.
Honking my horn.
I'm like, that's something old men say. You hear, you know, like,
honking my horn.
In my mind, I could just picture, like, my grandpa getting his hanky out of his pocket and going to blow his nose. Yeah, and it's really, like,
the hankies.
Wow, there's a lot of information. A lot more than I really anticipated. And I, you know, a hanky is a very gentlemanly thing to have, mm-hmm. but I never understood when it goes back in the pocket.
Oh, no. No, no, no.
How long does it stay, like...
When's the wash cycle
for your hanky? Do you change a hanky every day?
I don't know.
I hope so.
Dude, I hope so.
Have you ever used a hanky?
No. Am I 100?
I bet Beto O'Rourke uses a hanky.
Not only that, no, you know my OCD. Could I walk around with
He is offended by the thought. But yeah, a hanky is you. Like, I mean, you can use a hanky to be a gentleman, like in the old. Can you imagine someone like, you're going to sit down, someone's like, oh, wait a second. And they take their hanky out and they put it down.
My grandpa used to, you know, pull that thing out of his pocket, blow his nose into it, and stick it back in his pocket.
Yeah. Yep. Do you think he washed it every day? Or does it come out with the keys and the change?
I think he did.
Got it.
I think it went.
Is it one hanky per person?
I think it went with the overall.
Or do you have multiple
hankies? I think you have multiple hankies. I think it's
like underwear.
Yeah. I think it went with.
Did you change the underwear?
I think it went into the washing machine with the overalls.
Oh, yeah.
At the end of the day.
That makes sense.
I think a handkerchief's kind of a cool thing, though. I mean, but.
It's very old school.
Very gross.
The old man nose blow is
me today.
Katie, 971talk.com/Annie and on our YouTube channel. You're the one who used the phrase, and I quote, honking my horn. You want to stick around and do this some more? Or are you ready to be done here?
You gotta go home.
If you watch the webcam, whenever Katie sneezes, I, instead of saying bless you while I'm talking, I like make the sign of the cross to say bless you. God bless you.
And I'm in an interview right now.
She's like, she gives me the high sign, like appreciate it. And then she sneezes some more.
Again.
And it's just... You know, it happens to the best of us.
It's Monday.
And nobody looks cuter honking their horn than Katie.
According to the Dave Glover Show Facebook page, mm-hmm. there's a huge announcement at the top of the show.
I will be listening.
So don't go anywhere.
Yeah, stick around. Dave Glover Show coming up next. Our podcast, radio.com at 971talk.com/Annie. Big announcement coming up on the Dave Glover Show. What is it? Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.